Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Gratic, your host. Delighted to have you with us on this little bit of chilly Monday morning. We're very honored to have a friend of ours in the studio today, Virgil Walker. And let me give an intro, and then we'll kind of go from there. Virgil Walker is the Vice President of Ministry Relations at G3 Ministries. Additionally, he is an influential Christian commentator, writer, and thinker on a wide range of cultural topics. He's a frequent guest on Fearless with Jason Whitlock with Glenn Beck's The Blaze Media, where he serves as a weekly commentator and consultant. He's also the co-host of the wildly popular Just Thinking podcast. He has also co-authored several impactful books, Why Are You Afraid?, Just Thinking About Ethnicity, and Just Thinking About the State, which explore race, social justice, and government through a biblical lens. Walker also holds an MBA from Southern Nazarene University and a Master of Theological Studies from Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Virgil and his wife, Tamika, have three adult children. His home church is Praise Mills Baptist Church, which is just over the Carroll County line, just inside Douglas County on Highway 5. And we were very pleased to have Virgil come in this morning because he's speaking. He's the keynote speaker this Friday at the Georgia Stand for Life. And Joel, if you wanted to post that flyer, the itinerary for that day is with praise and worship beginning at 11:10, and this is at the Liberty Plaza in Atlanta on this Friday. Opening prayer, Pastor Stephen Moore, Loganville Baptist. Scripture reading, our good friend Ricardo Davis, GRRTL, Georgia Right to Life President. Pro-life testimony, April Chapman, Standard of Truth. Keynote, Virgil Walker, G3 Ministries. And then we have recognition of pastors and special music by Shanika Wright, who's a soloist, and then the silent march after that, which has been going on for many decades. Okay, I take a breath.
Yeah.
Well, welcome, Virgil. Tell us, so you've got the keynote Friday.
Yes, sir.
At Liberty Plaza in Atlanta,
yeah.
Stand for Life Memorial in March. What kind of message are you going to bring?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be with you and to be here on this very cold, chilly morning.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm
originally from Omaha, Nebraska, so I think I brought some of the cold weather with me when I came. Been here in Georgia for about 3 years and was honored for the opportunity to speak at the Georgia Right to Life event. From a standpoint of messaging, for me, it really boils down to this. When I think about what's transpired over the course of the last 2 to 4 years, everything from the Dobbs decision, in addition, we've had since 2019 here in Georgia a 6-week abortion ban. So couple those things together, you would think that abortion here in the state of Georgia is null and void, is all gone. But the reality is, if you look at the numbers, 4 years prior to 2019, we averaged somewhere in the neighborhood of about 35,000 abortions annually. Here we are after Dobbs, after the 6-week abortion ban. We have numbers from 2019 to 2023, and the numbers are the same. They haven't gone down to any degree. So while Christians and believers and pro-lifers celebrate the fact that we have seen abortion take place, or rather the laws come into play to ban abortion, there's absolutely been no change. Rather than celebrating, and again, there's nothing wrong with being excited about the Dobbs decision, but the reality is there is a lot more work that we have to do. So my intention on Friday is to let folks know that there's more work to be done, that we haven't won a victory that we can now sit back, relax, and let things be as they are, pat ourselves on the back, that there are babies who are dying. And until there are no babies dying, we have a responsibility and an obligation to be engaged.
After our first break, I'll come back and probably give out some stats, and you mentioned one there. But to emphasize your point, there are 14 states in America since Dobbs that have banned abortion. Mm-hmm. But the only effective result of that was it banned clinics in those 14 states.
Right.
Whereas in Georgia, clinics were not banned.
Right.
There are 13 clinics in Georgia. So effectively, there really hasn't been that much of a change. And no. then we'll talk about chemical abortions, yes, too, after the break. Yeah. But, I think that's a shocker to practically all pro-lifers.
It is. In fact, if you look nationwide, and that's usually where my scope is because of the nature of the commentary that I provide, nationwide abortions have actually gone up since Dobbs. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we sitting back thinking the victory's been won? Now, while we do that, most who are pro-abortion, those who are advocating for quote-unquote choice, they're on the march to ensure their rights. I mean, we just had a whole election cycle where a vice presidential or presidential candidate who was the vice president made the whole issue around reproductive rights. Her whole campaign was around that. And while it's great today, we'll celebrate the fact that that President Trump will be in office. There is a lot more work still to be done.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back, we'll look at some numbers, and we'll get a little deeper into the issues surrounding this, and we'll be back with more after this.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Stu Gradick, your host. As promised, I've got some stats. These come from the Guttmacher Institute, rather. Guttmacher was founded in 1968. Mm-hmm. Alan Guttmacher was head of Planned Parenthood for a number of years. So all these numbers are from a pro-abortion, quote, reproductive rights perspective, and Guttmacher has become the, quote, unquote, gold standard mm-hmm. for over the last 50 years. And pro-lifers quote it because they're always so accurate. A couple of numbers. Abortion rate in 2023 was 15.9 abortions per 1,000 women age 15 to 44, up 11% mm-hmm. from 2020. So that was 1,031,800 in 2023. Just like Virgil was saying, the abortion rate now is the highest it's been in the last 10 years.
Absolutely.
Even post-Dobbs.
Mm-hmm.
As of March 24, there were no clinics providing abortion care in 14 states with total abortion bans in effect at that time. These states had 63 clinics in 2020. I mentioned that. In the remaining 36 states and District of Columbia, however, where abortion was not completely banned, there were 21 more brick-and-mortar clinics operating in 2024. So that's the movement from one state to another.
Right.
So there's only really been a net decrease of 45 across the nation since Dobbs. Online only or virtual clinics also provide abortion care. A number of virtual clinics in the United States changes frequently, and precise numbers are not available. In 2021, 81% of abortions in the formal U.S. healthcare system occurred at 9 weeks of pregnancy or earlier, and 94% occurred in the first 13 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's the most interesting part. Medication abortion, chemical abortion, accounted for 63% of all clinical provided abortions in states without total bans in 2023.
Right.
By contrast, this method accounted for 53% of abortions in 2020. So it's rising quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Medication abortions were first approved in the last year of the Clinton administration, where, as it should be noted, Hillary Clinton was awarded the Margaret Sanger Award by Planned Parenthood. So 63% are now chemical abortions. And if I understand correctly, during COVID, you're no longer required to get a prescription. So you can get them by mail, and there's even one site where you can get them by free, the mm-hmm. abortion pill regimen. Let's see. However, since Dobbs, 5,513 abortion-related legislative actions were introduced in the United States. So what's the result?
Right.
And so those are interesting numbers. In Georgia, according to Guttmacher, in 2020, in Georgia, there were 41,620 mm-hmm. Per 1,000, and 18.9 per 1,000 women. Alabama had 5,700. Florida had 77,000. And South Carolina had 5,300. So those are just some of the numbers. I think the big takeaway is the chemical abortion increase. And so, and there's a real danger of that for, because this is all occurring generally at the house.
Yes.
And so that it's a lot, that's a very significant issue to attempt at home.
One of the things that you've got to think about as it relates to the numbers, it is really easy to get awash in those numbers. We've got to boil it back down to, and you and I talked about kind of the personal aspect of this.
But now you've been on the sidewalk before at abortion clinics.
Absolutely.
So what was your takeaway from there?
Absolutely. Exactly what I was about to say. All of these numbers boil back down to, these are human beings created in the image of God. These are babies who, if left to the completion of the pregnancy, would be human beings that we would experience their lives. They would be given names. We would be celebrating birthdays. All of these are children who've tragically been murdered in the womb. And I purposefully use that language because it's important for people to understand what's taking place.
The pro-life movement in the late 70s tended to steer away from it. Mm-hmm. It started out using murder, and then it went to killing of the child. Mm-hmm. Then we had exceptions.
Yep.
Then we had a giant pro-life establishment created. Then we had thousands upon thousands of legislators run as pro-life candidates, mm-hmm. and very few of them did, you know, any really the hard work.
Yeah.
So now, what you're describing now is more of a move toward personhood and abolition.
It is, and it's necessary. To the point you raised earlier, I've been on the front lines. I've been at the abortion mills. I've seen the mothers walking in with the intention to murder their children. I can appreciate that historically. I think there was a desire to adjudicate the whole situation at the doorstep and make sure that women weren't the guilty party for murdering their child. So we went away from the language of murder to, well, the killing of a child, to whatever else they decided to change it to. None of those things have improved the lives of those who are being murdered. None of those things have changed the numbers to go from a whole lot to little. In fact, what we're seeing is the opposite taking place even after legislation is passed from a standpoint of Dobbs. And so I think it's incredibly important to call things what they are. If we believe that life begins at conception, then that human at the ending of an innocent human life is absolutely murder, and we have to call it that.
But the women you found at the abortion mills, mm-hmm. I mean, society is saying it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, in whatever nuance a particular state has.
Yeah.
So I mean, there's no deterrence.
No.
I mean, they go, well, it's legal.
Right. Society is saying that it's okay, and so there's numerous problems with that. What that teaches the rest of culture, what watering down the language teaches the rest of culture is it's the normalization of the act. Secondarily, society at one time thought slavery was okay, and if we go by that standard, by the ever moving target of what a culture, a society desires to do to make sure that they enjoy life in the way they determine. We run a really slippery slope. We really do. And so it's imperative to call things what they are, to mean what we say, and really to push forward the idea that what we're doing is murdering children in the womb, and that the woman who's taking her child to an abortion clinic, she's not a victim. She absolutely knows what she's doing. I've been there at the abortion mill pleading with women, please don't murder your child today. We've got help. We've got resources. We've got, you know, whatever's required. If you need a place to stay to get away from a bad situation, we had all of that in place. Only to have women go in knowing full well what they were doing and saying, I don't care. I know I'm murdering my child. Anyone who spends any time at an abortion mill recognizes that the vast majority of women who enter those spaces and places are far from victims. They know exactly what they're doing, why they're doing it, and they're willing to sacrifice their child on the altar of their own desires, of their own autonomy, of their own. Many of them want to, you know, hey, I want to have a career that doesn't, you know, where having a child won't inhibit me. For all of those reasons, for the sake of convenience, they're willing to sacrifice their child.
So therefore, if it's murder, which is the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Yep. So abortion is sin?
Absolutely, abortion is sin. Absolutely, abortion is sin. The beauty of understanding A, that abortion is murder, and B, that murder is a sin, allows us to apply what we need to apply to sin, which is the grace of God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if we don't call it sin, if we don't call it murder, and it becomes something else, then these women are fooled into believing that they're doing something moral or good or right, when actually the opposite is in play.
One thing we've mentioned on the show before when Ricardo was here, basically in Georgia, 32% thereabouts, or a third of the population is African-American. Mm-hmm. So if you take half of that number, the number of women, that's 16% of the total population are African-American women, mm-hmm. yet they make up 45% of all the abortions in Georgia.
Yeah.
What is up with that?
It's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of factors at play with regard to that. I kind of zoom out to a national picture. I think that's perfect for Georgia. But if you zoom out to a national picture, 12% of the population is black. They still present 43% of the abortions nationwide. If you take that in half, 12%, 6% of women, 6% of women, African-American women, are having 40%+ of the abortions nationwide. And that's unbelievable. It's unparalleled. A lot of that goes all the way back to the very origin of Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger and her desire to kind of eradicate those she found that were not of the kind of people that she wanted to have around with the eugenics movement. All of that was aimed at what's called the Negro Project, aimed at black pastors and the promotion thereof. And so we still have that same project going on today, especially when you talk about this area here in Georgia, Atlanta. You think about men like Jamal Bryant, Pastor Jamal Bryant. You think about men like Raphael Warnock. These are quote unquote pastors who are advocating the death of innocents. Those are people I don't call pastors. I'll call them something else. I won't do that on your show here, but I will tell you they are far from pastors who care about life, and they're promoting death. And many churches, unfortunately, have embraced this false ideological position, and are really responsible for the death of innocents in a lot of ways.
And I would imagine one reason for these numbers is the breakdown of the black family in America, because I think it was in the 50s, 84%, it was two-family or two-parent household.
Absolutely.
And now it's down to whatever, 20.
Yep.
Something.
Yep. 28. Right now it's 28%.
28.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got 73% of children, black children, are born in an out of wedlock environment. And again, that's an automatic ticket punch for poverty. Mm-hmm. You amplify that with many of the women who are in churches who are hearing the wrong messages mm-hmm. from pastors, and it's a recipe for absolute disaster. The people who should be providing them great information about life are telling them that it's okay to murder children, and it's disastrous, absolutely disastrous.
We mentioned about you being on the sidewalk there and speaking to the women going into the abortion clinics, mm-hmm. but what does it do to the human spirit, the soul, when you take the life of your child, or you're associated, you know,
yes.
with that lady, and you say it's okay, or you pony up the money.
Yeah, it's devastating. And I know that because even after, years after, many of the people at my church, at my home church, would come to me, knowing that I was out on the at the abortion mill. They would come to me 30 years later, 40 years later, mm-hmm. and their hearts were still broken, yeah. Weeping, wanting to confess that they had sinned in this way, wanting to get absolution, which they don't get from me. They go to God with that. But it never leaves them at all in any way, shape, or form. There were many times when I was at an abortion clinic, especially we talk about the African American community, the Black community. I often would let women know, especially when the whole Black Lives Matter movement was being pushed. I would just flat ask them, does that Black life matter? Does the Black life in your womb actually matter? And if it does, then you won't harm that child today. And that definitely is a message I want to instill in someone who's doing that. But at the same time, all lives matter, regardless of ethnicity. And every child in the womb deserves protection because they're image bearers of God.
So you mentioned earlier there is forgiveness in the gospel.
Absolutely,
and that's about the only way to deal with the guilt and the consequences.
Absolutely, I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important that people who know God, love God, are Christian, are at the abortion mills, because we're the only ones able to apply the message of hope that is forwarded through the gospel. The fact that even though you've come to end a life, God gave His life through His Son, that those who would repent of sin and place their faith in Him would have the forgiveness of their sin and experience eternal life. They don't have to commit murder today in an effort to put a Band-Aid over a bad situation.
So you're going to be the keynote speaker this coming Friday. The event starts at 11:30 a.m. Liberty Plaza, 262 Capitol Avenue. And it's the January 24th, 2025 Georgia Stand for Life Memorial Service Rally in March, Liberty Plaza, Atlanta. This is part of the Georgia Right to Life event, so mm-hmm. you can go to their website and find out more. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit with Virgil before he leaves today about his G3 Ministries and everything that's going on there. But first, these words.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. We have Virgil Walker, who's Vice President of Ministry Relations at G3 Ministries. We're going to finish out the program talking about G3 Ministries. First, the elementary school question is, what does G3 stand for?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, most people don't know and want to know, but it stands for Gospel, Grace, and Glory. And that's what G3 stands for. It's a ministry that began by Dr. Josh Bice. He is the senior pastor there at Praise Mill Baptist Church, the church that I attend. This whole ministry, G3, kind of was born out of his desire to have a theology conference there at the church. Started out small, if you consider 600 people small, but that's kind of what filled the church from the very beginning. It started in 2013, and by 2017, it had exploded. They decided to go to the Georgia International Convention Center down by the airport, had about 2,800 people show up from around the country. By the end of that in 2017, they had offered kind of an early bird ticket. And when they did, they had more people purchase those than they could actually fill back in the church. So they kind of had a decision to make whether or not to do more. And that's what they did. Every year since then, it's exploded. And 2023, we had probably our largest audience yet, 8,300 people.
That's more than tenfold.
It was more than tenfold, but yeah, about 8,300
so
people.
So what's the mission of G3?
Mission of G3 is twofold. One is it's a content producing ministry, and by content, we provide a lot of great resources, all aimed at making sure people have a clear understanding of the Bible, of theology. There's so much junk out there that people can easily access. We thought it was important to make sure to get sound biblical doctrine in front of those in the church. And so that's what we do. All of what we do is aimed at encouraging, equipping, and educating local church leaders in sound biblical doctrine.
You know, like today, we nominate or inauguration of a new president, and you know, we kind of the ebb and flow of this between presidents and administrations and political parties. But when it flows like you kind of want it to flow,
right,
then you stop and you take a breath and you go, there's more to this than this.
Absolutely.
And it is culture. It is society. It's the, we talked about this with abortion. It's the mindset. It's the worldview of the population.
Yes.
And so G3 is addressing that.
Absolutely. It's, I think that, again, with the excitement of a brand new president and all that will come as a result, it is a time to kind of exhale a little bit. But it definitely is not, and we talked about this as it relates to abortion, it's definitely not the time to sit back and go, oh, we've got it. Everything's done. There's much more to do. There's a lot of things that we need to be involved in. And as the church, we have an obligation and responsibility to be on the forefront, the front lines of that fight. And so with that, it's important to be fully equipped, understanding what you believe, why you believe it, and then proclaiming that in the public square in every way, shape, and form.
What's the website for G3 ministry?
G3, G3MIN, like ministry, G3MIN.org. You can go there and find out all kinds of information about our organization. There's blog articles. There's resources that are free that you can gather. And then there's, of course, we have a conference coming up in September. September the 11th through the 13th will be our national G3 conference right here in Atlanta.
Basically, we're going to run out of time, but the church needs a deeper understanding, growth, a deeper theology, don't you think?
If what we're seeing in abortion is any indication from a variety of other social issues, the church has got to do more, and it requires them being educated as to what the Word of God says about these issues, and that's what G3 does.
I thought G3 was going to be like the triune, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Gotcha, gotcha.
Yeah, I was a little bit. All right. Well, thank you for coming in, and we wish you well. Let's see, Liberty Plaza, 11:30 a.m. this coming Friday, the 24th. And then I think the silent march is, what, about a mile or so?
It is.
Oh, is exactly
a
mile?
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, Virgil, thank you very much for coming in, and thank you for bringing this information to us, and hope to have you back again sometime, and Pastor Bice, too. He was on once before. He's a UWG grad, so I won't hold that against
him. Well, Steve, thanks for having me. Anytime, I'd love to come in and talk about issues.
And your podcast, where can they find it?
You can go to justthinking.me, justthinking.me, and find all the stuff with the Just Thinking podcast, and of course, you've got other places and spaces to find me, Fearless with Jason Whitlock, and of course I do a lot of writing for a lot of different organizations.
Tell Jason we said hello.
I'll do that. Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Thank you to our sponsors, Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB Carrollton.